Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
We waited 30 years.
The wait is over.
But this season...
What happens now?
Champions of baseball.
It's time to defend the crown. This is World Champion Dodger Talk.
It's yours, Los Angeles.
Breaking down the world champion LA Dodgers all season long.
So happy, man.
LA Dodgers baseball is brought to you by Chef Marito,
seasoning partner of the Dodgers.
Navi and tankless water heaters.
For endless hot water, visit tanklessmadesimple.com.
And by Chevrolet.
Find new roads.
Don't miss an episode and get all the podcasts on the iHeartRadio app. Now your host, LA's favorite Dodger insider.
The city's favorite son.
Here's David Vassay.
Welcome to Dodger Talk. David Vassay live at Dodger Stadium, where the Dodgers defeat the Washington Nationals tonight by a final score of 9-5. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Julio Urias picks up the win. He was not great tonight. He was not as good as he was at Coors Field, but he gave the Dodgers and himself an opportunity to win this game, and that's how it played out. He went 5 2/3 innings tonight, allowed 9 hits, 3 strikeouts, and no walks. The Dodger offense got contributions from everybody that started tonight. All 8 position players got a hit. The 2 biggest hits came from A.J. Pollock and Chris Taylor. Taylor had a 2-out, 3-run home run in the second inning, part of a 5-run second inning against Patrick Corbin. And A.J. Pollock continues to thrive with the bases loaded in his career. He now has a 5-game hitting streak on this season after doubling the bases loaded clear in the bottom of the 7th inning with 2 outs. Pollock is now hitting .341 in his career with the bases loaded, and he certainly delivered there in the 7th inning against right-handed reliever Kyle Finnegan. And Pollock told us on the pregame show that he just feels a lot more comfortable in the batter's box the last 5 games, part of that hitting streak now. So things are going better for Pollock than what they were in spring training. And look, like I said yesterday, you got to let the season breathe a little bit. Only 9 games in for the Dodgers, they've been able to win 7 of those 9 without having Mookie Betts and Cody Bellinger in the lineup consistently. And Mookie was out again today with a lower back issue, and Cody Bellinger, as you know, was placed on the injured list yesterday. So they are without those two big parts of this lineup. And luckily for the Dodgers, Justin Turner continues to be Justin Turner. 2-for-5 tonight, 2 doubles. He drives in a run. He now leads the team with 9 RBIs, 7 extra base hits, and 2 home runs. And oh, by the way, he has the longest on-base active base streak right now, reaching base 39 games he has reached consecutively, and that is the longest active streak in baseball. So Justin Turner continues to be Mr. Consistent for the Dodgers, no matter what the circumstances are. So without Bellinger and Mookie Betts, at least you have Seager and Turner in this lineup. And Max Muncy got on base 4 times tonight. He walked twice and he got a couple of hits. Now, I will say this. The Dodgers' lack of depth, position player-wise, is starting to show a little bit, especially without Mookie Betts and Cody Bellinger in their lineup. There was an opportunity when Dave Roberts brought in Jimmy Nelson in the 6th inning to double switch. A.J. Pollock made the last out in the prior half inning, so you would have been able to put the pitcher in Pollock's spot and then have whomever you brought in to double switch in for Pollock hit in the pitcher spot. Luckily, the Dodgers did not do that because Pollock came in the 7th inning with that huge double with the bases loaded. But under normal circumstances, Dave Roberts probably, if he had more options, would have double switched right there. He chose not to. And you're looking at tomorrow. Dave Roberts said in the post-game press conference that they may have McKinstry play left field tomorrow and Edwin Rios play right field. That kind of shows you that the Dodgers are not as deep position player-wise as they have been in recent years, especially with the departures of Kike Hernandez and Jock Peterson, and now you're having to start Zach McKinstry on an everyday basis, and basically your depth is on the infield because Edwin Rios is a corner infielder, and you're not going to take Muncy out these days, and you're not going to take Justin Turner out these days, so he really doesn't have a position to play. The only other option would be Matt Beatty in the corner outfield spots, and the Dodgers are saving him to come off the bench. So for me, that's one of those situations that may fix itself by the trade deadline. Andrew Friedman has a knack of finding players for the October stretch run, and I'm sure he recognizes that as well, that especially without Mookie and Bellinger, the Dodgers are really thin position player-wise. So they have to find a way to get through this stretch without Bellinger. Hopefully he's back on Friday when the Dodgers start that three-game weekend series against the Padres. We saw Cody out here before the game. He was in flip-flops, and he wasn't really limping as much as we saw him limp out to get his ring yesterday. And he wasn't limping that bad, but he was walking gingerly. They just really miss him. They had to call up Luke Raley to take his spot. Maybe he's an option tomorrow against Max Scherzer, but I'll believe it when I see it. Edwin Rios in right field tomorrow. I love Edwin, and he's done a lot of work to be a lot more nimble and athletic, but he's a corner infielder. I'm not sure he could play right field. We've seen the struggles McKinstry's had in right field, and now you're going to have Edwin Rios out there tomorrow. It'll be interesting to see what outfield alignment the Dodgers choose to go with tomorrow with Max Scherzer on the mound and Clayton Kershaw pitching for the Dodgers. 866-987-2570. Chris Taylor also had a big three-run home run tonight, like I mentioned. Let's hear what CT3 had to say after the game.
It's pretty awesome feeling, you know, just just talking about it, you know, it's only, I think we're only at a quarter capacity, but it still feels electric out there, especially, you know, playing games last year with no fans. And, you know, for us only having 15,000 people, it's still like pretty good environment. And, I thought the fans were awesome tonight.
We saw runs this evening from almost every position player. What can you just say about the effectiveness and efficiency that you've been seeing from your teammates offensively?
Yeah, I think we've always had a deep lineup top to bottom, and, that's no different this year. You know, we got guys, a couple guys that are really stepping up for us. Luxy and McKinstry that we didn't see as much of last year, but I mean, it goes to show that, this organization has a ton of talent that is just kind of waiting in the wings. And, I'm sure we're going to see some more new faces this season. And, from 1 through 9, you know, it doesn't matter who's up. You know, we have all the confidence in them. And as a team, you know, that's what we're trying to do, put good at-bats together and kind of pass the baton to the next guy.
Yeah, they certainly did that tonight, putting up a 9th spot against Patrick Corbin and the Washington Nationals. 866-987-2570. Ned Coletti will be joining us in the next segment, but first, let's go out to the phones for the first time. Stevenson Ranch, Lawrence, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Lawrence.
Hey, David, you are the best.
Now, I don't know about that, Lawrence. The best at what?
No, I owe you an apology. I owe you an apology also.
Okay, let's hear this. I always love apologies.
You and I had a disagreement last season when I was visiting my dad in Montreal. Mm-hmm. And I want to say that I was in the wrong and you were in the right.
What was the disagreement about?
It was Gavin Lux's situation. I had called you from Montreal. It was mid-season.
Water under the bridge, Lawrence. I forgive you. What do you have to say tonight?
Okay, to Gavin Lux, going to the seventh inning, he actually should have had an RBI.
Say that again?
You remember when it was just before Pollock's hit?
Uh-huh.
when Gavin Lutz was up, when he grounded out.
Right.
Into the fourth play at the plate.
Right.
That person, the catcher wasn't, didn't touch the plate.
Oh, all right. I'll go back and look at that. Thank you for letting us know. Gavin Lux tonight, 0 for 4, and I feel like maybe he took it out to the field with him because I've heard that about Gavin where sometimes if he struggles at the plate, he may take that out to the field, and he had a couple of erratic throws late in the game tonight. So that's something as a young player you always have to work through. Don't take whatever's going on offensively with you defensively, and the Dodgers could have avoided having to see Juan Soto in the ninth inning if Lux was able to make an accurate throw to Max Muncy to end the game. But no harm, no foul. The Dodgers beat the Nationals tonight 9-5. All right, let's go out to North Hollywood. James, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, James.
Hi, David. Good to be back. Good to be back with this season. Good to see fans in the seats. First of all, I want to say I hope it sounds like you got a little bit of a cold, or maybe it's allergy season like it is for me too. Hope that gets better for you. I know your voice so well. I can tell you're a little nasal tonight. Hope that heals up.
Oh, geez. Okay, thanks.
secondly, and most importantly, I'd like to give a few reasons why I think the Dodgers are primed to, as they say on 570, go the Moderna route and not the Johnson & Johnson. Do the repeat and win the World Series again, if I may.
All right, you did. Thanks for the phone call, and I'll blow my nose during the break. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to my buddy Paolo in San Diego. You're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Paolo.
All right. Don't sneeze too much, okay?
Yeah, right?
Listen, so far so good. I mean, except for a few hiccups here and there, especially with Trevor Bauer last out, and I don't understand why Dave Robin, you know, let him pitch 110 pitches. But regardless, I have a question for you. Tomorrow, Dusty May was supposed to pitch, but I see that Clayton Kershaw is pitching against. Is that because it's Max Scherzer that they changed they flip flop they starting pitching tomorrow? Is that the reason why?
No, but that's a big treat for us. The reason why they pushed May back was because they wanted to keep Kershaw on regular rest, and it gives Dustin May, you know, a little extra day's rest. Remember, the Dodgers are trying to protect their younger pitchers, especially going from a 60-game season to a 162-game season. So that's the reason that Dave Roberts gave for them switching tomorrow's starter.
Okay, but David, that defies the logic of having Trevor Bauer, you know, throw 110 pitches on his second.
He's a freak of nature, Paolo. He's a freak of nature. He's never had any shoulder, elbow injuries. He's a guy that throws a lot. He's a freak of nature, and that's the beauty of having him in the rotation.
You're my hero.
Bye, all right. David. Thanks for the phone call. Buonanotte. 866-987-2570. By the way, we looked at the play in the seventh inning where Gavin Lux grounded into a force play. Yes, the throw was wide from Starlin Castro, but the catcher's foot was on the plate. Yan Gomes' foot was on the plate there, so there was no issue there. 866-987-2570. We're going to take a timeout here on Dodger Talk. When we come back, we'll check in with Ned Colletti, get his thoughts not only on tonight's game, but more importantly, tomorrow's headliner between Kershaw and Scherzer. Tonight, the Dodgers beat Patrick Corbin 9-5 on AM570 LA Sports.
On air at AM 570, online at AM570LASports.com, and available by podcast on the iHeartRadio app. This is Dodger Talk with David Bassett.
Good and third, two out. Two in, Dodgers 2-1 in the second. There's a liner in the left field and deep, and goal! Chris Taylor is off to an impossibly hot start this year.
Chris Taylor continues to do everything for the Dodgers. When they need him in center field, he starts there. When they need him to lead off, like tonight, he does that as well. and he delivers in the second inning with a two-out, three-run home run to help the Dodgers beat the Nationals tonight by a final score of 9-5. Every season, Daniel's Jewelers gives fans the chance to win a $50 gift card for guessing the correct number of home runs. For your chance to play, visit am570lasports.com and use the keyword home run for your chance to enter this season. I know the players always talk about it's just about today. Well, I don't have to play by those rules. I'm really excited and have been since we found out that Max Scherzer and Clayton Kershaw are going to square off tomorrow. That's what I'm excited about. That's what I've been waiting for in the last 24 hours, ever since the Dodgers ended the home opener 1-0 and got their championship ring. So tomorrow should be a fun afternoon at Dodger Stadium. Not too often you get to see two great pitchers go up against each other, and that's what we got tomorrow afternoon here at Dodger Stadium at 1:10. Kershaw versus Scherzer. And a man that knows both very well is former Dodger GM and current Sportsnet LA analyst Ned Colletti. Ned, both of these guys were drafted the same year in 06. Kershaw 7th by you and Scherzer 11th by the Diamondbacks. It should be special tomorrow.
Yeah, it's like the old days where on Sundays you would have two top high-end guys meeting and seeing who could outduel the other one. Should be great. You know, go back to that draft year, first high school player taken in that draft, and Max, a college player, lasted a little bit longer, but you're talking about six Cy Young Awards between them. You're not going to see that very often.
When you have a matchup like this, do you feel like both sides get up a little bit more, especially during a long 162-game season?
Oh, no doubt. A lot of the hitters are probably wishing it was somebody else, on both sides probably. But you do. I mean, it turns it up a notch. You're talking about, you know, you're going to see good pitching. You know you're going to see guys that have a great feel for the craft of it. And it's not just throwing, it's pitching. And both of these guys have matched up before. But it's always great to see. You don't know how many times you're going to see this. You only play this team six times a year. So, you know, twice is about the most you're going to see unless you meet in the postseason.
Ned, I think we agree that Kershaw has had the superior career than Max Scherzer, but it's not that wide of a margin for you. Do you feel like these two guys have been the best in the business since they've made it to the major leagues?
I think they're right there. I mean, I can't think of another lefty that has been as good as Clayton has been. When I think about Max, I think about Verlander a little bit in his prime. And, DeGrom is coming on a little bit, not quite there yet. Obviously, it doesn't have the resume of Max. But I think you're talking, and it's tough to say the top two. You know, I'd say you certainly have the top lefty, and probably the combination is top five during their era. I think they've both been excellent at what they do, you really almost have a chance to see a historic performance when either pitcher pitches. And now you've got a chance to see them both on one mound one day.
Ned Colletti from the Sportsnet LA studios is joining us. The Dodgers tonight, Ned, again shorthanded without Mookie Betts, Cody Bellinger on the injured list. And feels like right now it's really no secret that the Dodgers are a plug-and-play team. Everybody complained for so many years that they wanted to see more of a consistent lineup. Well, now you got one out of necessity. How much do you think Dave Roberts has to really thread the needle in game with being down Mookie Betts and Cody Bellinger?
Well, a little bit, but he's given other people a chance to play. And as I heard you talking about CT3, you know, I mean, it's most teams don't have a player like that. And so that gives him a few more at bats, a little bit more time. We're seeing Zach had a key hit tonight again. So, you know, guys are starting to feel their way a little bit and starting to get really in early season form, I guess. You know, I would always wait till May 1st to see before making any major decisions. But this team has settled in pretty good. And I thought that tonight, while the first inning was a 12-pitch inning for Corbin, and the Dodgers are usually running about 24, 25 pitches against somebody else's starter in that first inning, they made up for it in the second inning and forced them to throw strikes, 31 pitch inning, and they ended up with five runs up by the time they ended up getting to the third out. So I think that this team is so good. It's interesting to see how it functions without Mookie, how it functions without Belly. You don't want to do it for too long, but they played pretty well without two former MVPs and two guys that hit in the middle of the lineup or top of the lineup, middle of the lineup, and right-handed and left-handed. So you're taking those two guys out. It's tough. Most teams would not be able to survive that. This team just keeps on moving forward.
It's just different because the Dodgers had a matchup for every counter matchup that a team would throw at them when they had Kike and Jock, that huge luxury of having Kike Hernandez and Jock Peterson as players on your bench or able to plug in on a start. It just doesn't feel like the Dodgers are doing it the same way. They're having more of a set lineup and really not double switching guys out for certain matchups.
Yeah, I think you're right. But I think the injuries have forced Dave's hand a little bit. As I look at the first 9 days of the season, 10 days of the season off day here and there, I like where they're at. I like the production. It was good to see Jimmy Nelson get a key out tonight. Been a struggle. Hopefully that'll give him a little bit of confidence. But I really like where it's at right now. And I think you get Mookie back whenever. Maybe he's off again tomorrow with an off day on Monday. But I think that the team is – I think it's in a really good spot.
All right, Ned. We'll check in with you tomorrow after what should be a great day at Dodger Stadium between Kershaw and Scherzer.
Let's hope it's not 7-6 after two innings, huh?
Yeah, I know, right? Sometimes it works out that way. We don't want that.
I'll take 2-1 after seven. I'll see you later.
All right, Ned. There he goes. Ned Coletti, Sportsnet LA analyst. 866-987-2570. Also tomorrow here at Dodger Stadium, the Dodgers will be honoring the 40th anniversary of Fernando Mania. Fernando Valenzuela, it all happened 40 years ago here at Dodger Stadium, and it culminated in the Dodgers winning the World Series championship in 1981. So before the game, the Dodgers will celebrate the anniversary of Fernando Mania. And Fernando and Jaime Jarrín were doing some interviews today, too. I know Fernando loves doing interviews, right? He loves answering questions. Not really. You know what was interesting, though, in that press conference, people were asking Fernando whether or not he believes his number 34 should be retired. I don't know what you expect him to say. He's a humble guy. He's not going to say, yes, hang up my number 34. As you know, the Dodgers do have a policy, I guess if you want to call it that, or a standard. I should say a standard is a better word to use, that you have to be in the Hall of Fame to have your number retired. And the only exception that was made was back in 77, I believe, when Jim Gillian passed away suddenly, and the Dodgers retired his number 19. 866-987-2570. But I will say this, if there is another exception to be made, it is for Fernando Valenzuela. He has meant so much to this franchise and to this city ever since he burst onto the scene at the end of 1980. If there was another exception to be made, it would be for El Toro, number 34, Fernando Valenzuela. Let's go out to Abraham in Gardena. You're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Abraham.
Hey, Dave Vasse. Yeah, I would agree that I think Fernando's number should be retired. And I also was going to ask you if you still have one of those DVDs for me.
I don't, but I appreciate you not bringing up Kenley Jansen. He did not pitch again tonight.
Oh, no, I'm not going to bring him in. I'm not going to say anything negative about him, you know, but yeah, there I go. That's it.
All right, Abraham, sorry. I don't have a DVD for you. I may have one. Who knows? We might get restocked. Anyway, tomorrow should be awesome. Scherzer versus Kershaw. It's been such a great career for both of those young men. Not so young anymore, I guess. I mean, 33 is still pretty young. That's how old Kershaw is. I shouldn't say that. They're not old. Yeah, young men. Kershaw versus Scherzer. Combined, they've won 6 Cy Young Awards, each 3. Kershaw has that MVP that Scherzer doesn't. Scherzer has thrown 2 no-hitters. Kershaw has only thrown 1. Kershaw's been named to 8 All-Star games. Scherzer has been named to 7. Scherzer has a 20-strikeout game. Kershaw has 2,536 strikeouts in his career. Scherzer has 2,793 strikeouts in his career. And they each now have a World Series championship. Scherzer won it in 2019. Kershaw and the Dodgers won it in 2020. So Kershaw, obviously, I think we were talking about it here in the booth, that at their peaks, Kershaw's peak was higher than Scherzer's. And I think if you watch both of these guys pitch in their careers, you would agree. I'm not saying Scherzer is at the bottom of the mountain, but Kershaw's peak is separating these two pitchers, which have had great careers. And it all started when they were in the same draft class. So their careers definitely have paralleled each other. And I kind of feel like because of how great Kershaw has been in pitching in Los Angeles and being on consistent winners, I feel like Scherzer's career kind of has gotten not enough recognition for what he's been able to accomplish in his career because of how great Kershaw and the Dodgers have been consistently. So I feel like that's a fair assessment, that Scherzer has had a great career, 3 Cy Young Awards, a World Series championship, all these all-star appearances, 2 no-hitters. I feel like Scherzer, because of where he's pitched in his career, Arizona, Detroit, and D.C., he really hasn't gotten the spotlight that maybe he's deserved in a lot of his great years. So I'll say that about Scherzer. Should be fun tomorrow. Our pregame coverage begins at 12 o'clock with Morongo Casino, Dodgers on deck. First pitch tomorrow at 1:10. That'll do it for us from Dodger Stadium tonight. Thanks to Dwayne McDonald here at Dodger Stadium. Thanks to Colin Yee back at our Burbank studios. And thanks to you for listening. In case you missed any of the show, you could podcast it at the iHeartRadio app or am570lasports.com. That's where you can also find my new podcast, Extra Innings, presented by Corona. And every episode, Andre Ethier joins us. It drops every Wednesday afternoon. And episode 2 is in the books. Andre joined us, who, by the way, is celebrating his 39th birthday today. So happy birthday to Andre Ethier. And you can hear him every episode of Extra Innings as it drops every Wednesday on the iHeartRadio app, soon to be on Apple iTunes. Once again, the final score from Dodger Stadium. The Dodgers defeat the Washington Nationals 9-5. Have a great night. See ya.